Ben Bush. I'm Sarah Glynn for Media News. Sunday, the 3rd of July, is the date of the 5th Congress of the People's Democratic Party, the HDP. Also possibly the last Congress if the closure case currently going through the Turkish courts goes against the party. But that, as everyone knows, is up to President Erdogan. On the eve of the Congress, I'm speaking with Hisha Osoy in Ankara, MP for Diyarbakir, an HDP co-spokesperson for foreign affairs. So welcome, Hisha, and thank you so much for agreeing to talk to me at what must be a frantically busy time.
Thank you for the opportunity, Sarah.
The HDP is the 6th pro-Kurdish party to face a potential ban in Turkey. But can you explain to people unfamiliar with the ins and outs of Turkish politics why the HDP is much more than that? What it has achieved and why its fate should be a source of concern to those out with Turkey.
Yeah, I mean, established in 2012, the HDP has been a major player in both Kurdish and Turkish politics in Turkey. Although it is known as the pro-Kurdish party, it is more than just a Kurdish party. It represents the majority of the Kurds. But in addition to them, there are a lot of leftists and other progressive groups and individuals who are represented within the HDP, plus many minorities who have been historically marginalized and underrepresented in Turkey, such as the Armenians, Azeri people, Syriac people, and Alevi people, of course. They do have representation both within the party and at the parliament. So in a sense, the HDP is kind of the antidote of Turkish nationalism, the monolithic Turkish nationalism, which is based on one culture and one identity, and which has been quite devastating for non-Turkish and non-Muslim populations in Turkey over the last century. So as a progressive platform, of course, so the HDP represents what the conventional state system and President Erdogan and his government, what they represent. We are almost the exact opposite of the Turkish government and the state structure. And that is why we have been under tremendous pressure, but particularly since 2015, when we defeated President Erdogan by preventing him from forming a majority government in June 2015 elections. Even before that, the pressures on the HDP started. But since then, President Erdogan wants to totally render dysfunctional the HDP in order to stay in power. And as we are getting closer to the elections in 2023, President Erdogan is, of course, very much scared because HDP does have a game changer role, a kingmaker role in politics. In 2019, in the local elections, we supported the opposition, which defeated Erdogan in a lot of metropolitan areas, including Istanbul, Ankara, and the Mediterranean coast. And President Erdogan is scared that a similar scenario can be implemented in these elections, and he may lose the elections, and that will be the end of almost everything. So in that sense, the HDP is really the key to Turkey's future now and Turkey's democratic future. And President Erdogan wants to stay in power. So that is why there is a very big tension and confrontation. And we are trying everything to keep our party is still open, I mean, to prevent its formal closure by the Constitutional Court. But that is that would be, I mean, it is a possibility that this may be, unfortunately, our very last Congress.
So you're a party for democracy, a party against the authoritarianism, and a party for everyone. But despite this, you still rely to a considerable extent on Kurdish votes, and others who are opposed to the AKP government tend to look to the alliance that's dominated by the Republican People's Party, the CHP. So what would your message be to those people who might share your politics but don't give you their support?
Okay. I mean, our call is to all people in Turkey who really care about the democratic future in the country. They may not agree to all of HDP's policies and politics. They may be very critical of the HDP even, but the HDP as a political party does have a very key position in the democratic struggle, both in Turkey and in Kurdistan. So now there is a closure case against the HDP, and this closure case is actually not just the banning of a political party, but the destruction of the possibility of democratizing the country and also finding a peaceful resolution to the Kurdish conflict. So consider from that particular perspective, we call upon everybody to be in solidarity with the HDP in such difficult times. Even if they don't vote for us, they still have a responsibility towards the country as a whole, because without the HDP, there can never be a democratic political culture, a democratic political system, and a peaceful resolution of the Kurdish conflict. So far, what we have seen is that the government of Turkey, President Erdogan and his allies, they put certain limits within which the opposition operates, right? So one way this is happening is the kind of distance that the opposition oftentimes gets from the HDP, because, I mean, the opposition against Erdogan is also highly nationalistic and anti-Kurdish, to put it very bluntly. And so, even if they need the support of the HDP to win in the elections, we know that the opposition is trying to get distance from the HDP, because the HDP has been so powerfully criminalized by the government, and that way the opposition is also taking some distance from the HDP in order not to get criminalized themselves. So that is a very strange kind of situation, because the opposition is somehow mainly acting within the limits set by the political limits set by the government. That is a kind of vicious cycle there. But as I said, I mean, despite all these pressures, the HDP, even if banned, is going to remain as a very powerful political movement, a powerful political actor, shaping Kurdish and Turkish politics in profound ways. And that is why, I mean, anybody who is concerned about the future of Turkey, the democratic future of Turkey, and the rights and freedoms of Kurdish people, and they need to be showing their solidarity right now and here.
So what would your message be to the opposition alliance then? Because they're not really doing much opposing, and they're not been exactly friendly to you. So what would your message be to them?
I mean, to the opposition, I mean, if they are serious about ruling this country, they need to be very serious about their democratic agenda and possible solution for the Kurdish issue. These are two main challenges, like democracy and in relation to democracy, the Kurdish issue. So far, we haven't heard much about these. I mean, they do criticize the government, the government's policies, their economic policies. They actually even complain about the government's anti-democratic measures, the injustices committed by the government, yes, but they still do not have a kind of plan of action to democratize the country and to open up some space to engage the Kurdish issue in more political and peaceful ways. To be honest, this opposition has been quite supportive of the government's militarizing the Kurdish issue in Turkey, in Syria, and in Iraq. They have been fully supporting cross-border operations. They have been fully supporting Turkey's invasion of certain parts in Rojava. And they have been supportive of the government, at least an overwhelming majority of them, when the government was destroying Kurdish municipalities and local governments in Turkey and jailing all of those people. I mean, you know, members of parliament, our leaders, you know, a lot of HDP people. They either remained silent, or they directly supported the government when doing all of this. So in that sense, when it comes to the Kurdish issue, there is not much opposition, I would say. I mean, those who are seem to be on the opposition of Erdogan, they are actually part of the status quo when it comes to the Kurdish issue. That is a sad fact that we have to face. But despite this, we know that within the opposition, there are some, you know, other voices there who are actually more sympathetic to the HDP. So, as I said previously, whether they like HDP's politics or not is something different. Obviously, they think differently. That's why they are organizing different political parties. But if they do care about democracy as a principle, as a set of values, they should be now very vocal about, you know, the pressures on the HDP, because President Erdogan, by destroying the HDP, wants to stay in power. I mean, that is very visible. Everybody knows, even the opposition went to talk, you talk to members of the opposition, I mean, you know, in individual conversations, everybody says that President Erdogan, the only way he can stay in power is to destroy the HDP. And then we ask, why don't you speak against this? So that is actually the limit set by President Erdogan, because the moment they start kind of supporting HDP's right to exist, they too are being criminalized as supporter of terrorism. You know, that kind of, you know, the political discourse developed by the government and propagated by the pro-government media. So we expect the opposition to be more serious and have some courage, actually. If they really think that seriously, they are going to rule this country, they need to have some courage. They need to show some political will and courage. And it seems that only so far, mostly the HDP has been paying the price for a democratic country. Maybe it is time for the opposition actually to take a more principled and courageous kind of stance. We are at a very critical conjuncture, I mean, in the history of Turkish politics and democracy. It is either now or never kind of situation, because if President Erdogan wins for and gains another 5 years, that may be so costly for Turkey, and some of the damage may not be even repairable. So in that sense, it is time for the opposition to develop a very powerful democratic agenda, which also includes a component of like the Kurdish issue, a peaceful resolution of the Kurdish conflict. So this is what we expect from them, despite the fact that, of course, we see the kind of ideological and political differences among the opposition parties. There are six of them, from right-wing Islamist to Kemalist secular ones. I mean, it is a kind of wide, broad spectrum there. I mean, all the kinds of different political tendencies, they came together against President Erdogan's authoritarianism. But unfortunately, the majority of the people there, they do not have a genuinely democratic political line. That is the sad situation. We are now, as the HDP, while we are trying to fight against the authoritarianism of President Erdogan, we are simultaneously trying to encourage, motivate the opposition to take a more democratic stance in politics.
You've referred, of course, to the crushing of democracy and the way that the HDP has been treated. And with Erdogan leeching support at the moment and desperately trying to hold on to power, you must be expecting all sorts of appalling tricks to come your way as well. So I wondered if you could just give some idea to people who are perhaps more used to more mundane politics, how on earth you manage to operate in a situation where there are thousands of party members in prison, where MPs have numerous charges against them, how every week we see roundups and detentions of party activists and party offices come under violent attack. How do you actually go on day by day? How are there still more people involved in the HDP? How do you resist all this?
Yeah, very good question, Sarah. Thank you for this. I mean, we do represent more than 6 million voters. And now I think it is maybe even 7 or 8 million. So our numbers are on the rise. And if you multiply this with like family members, it makes like probably between 15 to 20 million people in Turkey. Okay. So we have been having probably like more than 15,000 detentions so far, and about 5,000 people are still in prisons now, and that many people probably they left the country are like asylum seekers in European countries. So this means the loss of a lot of experience, actually, because it's not that easy. Like 10 years, people like gain a lot of experience, maturity in politics, and then either they are in prison or they have to leave the country. But we have like hundreds of thousands of committed people. And when we have like people who go to prison and, you know, next day new people come and they know they will be going to prison, but still they come and they join politics, they support the HDP. So just to give you one example, in my first term in Bingöl, when I was a member of parliament, in 2016 and 17, I mean, almost, I think, not all the chairs of my province, they were arrested, one after the other. So I think I worked with like 6 or 8 of them in Bingöl. Only in 2 years, like every 6 months, so there will be some arrest. And then I went to Diyarbakir in 2018. And there too, actually, you know, all the province chairs of my party, they were arrested. Some of them are still in prison, actually. Now, 2 of them are in prison, actually, still. And so, but we always find new people. It's not just, I mean, when you think of like party politics, probably, I mean, who would be actually like joining politics just to go to prison? I mean, I know it doesn't make sense. When you look, for example, look at the issue of politics from a European perspective, maybe, or European experience. But for many people here, engaging in politics is about cultural, political, and social survival, right? This is how they live. This is how they exist. This is how they survive. So they know that without a peaceful resolution of the Kurdish conflict and without a democratic kind of political climate, most of their problems will aggravate. People know this, and rather than thinking about their individual lives, actually, they join collective struggles. Sometimes it's very costly. Definitely, people spend years in prison, but without winning a country, they know that most of our problems, including economic problems, will not be resolved. So that is why I think people take risk. It is not that people are very heroic here. It's not that people are very brave here. These are normal people. We are normal human beings. We are not really heroic people. But we want to survive as individuals, as a community, as a people. We want to culturally and socially and economically survive, have better lives. And for this, we need to engage in politics. We are Kurdish people in Turkey. Our whole life is truly politicized. So consider from that perspective, I think, like why people come. I mean, people come to the HDP because they have a survival issue. It is, the politics is kind of the medium for survival, for the cultural and social survival for them. And that is why, although like we have like many of our friends, now they are either in prison or in exile, but we have never had the shortage of good people, friends and comrades who volunteer for HDP's work. Tomorrow, in fact, we are going to have our Congress. Many new people are joining the party who will be party assembly members. People have faith in the HDP, I would say. I mean, of course, I mean, and they invest also emotionally in the HDP as a political party, as a movement. People are doing their fight by using the HDP as a medium, as a space for action, as a space for struggle. So in that sense, as I said, even if the HDP is shut down as a political entity, as a legal political entity, these people are going to stay there, right? these people, this community, this history of struggle is going to stay, and you know, it will reorganize and find ways to shape and transform Turkish and Kurdish politics in the future too. So we have a very, very powerful political sociology, actually, and our strength and our people, they come from within that sociology.
It's very inspiring looking at it from outside. And of course, we're wishing you well for the Congress tomorrow. And I wonder just finally, if you can say what message you hope and expect that Congress will give to people.
Yeah, I mean, I invite everybody who is will not be here to bear witness to this historical Congress here, to actually find a way to watch it. It will be televised through the social media. This will be historical, really, and to see how people, despite all kinds of governmental repression, violence, killing, murders, destruction, how people actually are so motivated to make a difference and create social and political change in the country. So people are excited. We are seeing now tens of thousands of people are actually traveling, are driving to Ankara now. We are getting a lot of social media posts that people are doing like folk dancing. I mean, even in the buses. So there is a lot of excitement and motivation. It is a message. I mean, despite the darkness that has been ruling the country, as long as there are people who are willing to struggle, there will never ever be a complete hegemony of those who are in power. So I think HDP is a very, very good case in point in this regard. Erdogan may seem quite, strong and authoritarian, having all kinds of state resources, the means of repression, the media, and the military and the courts and prisons and the police and intelligence and whatever. But still, I mean, we have the will, the political will and motivation of people who get united, and if they can get united, they really have a chance at winning it. And the HDP will show that both in the Congress and in the coming elections.